You are now listening to the Someone's Favorite Productions podcast network.
And now for your feature presentation.
One, or two, or three, or four, five, Force 5.
What's up, list nerds? I am your host, ex-video store clerk, screenwriter, and fellow list nerd Jason Kleberg, and this is Force 5, a show where I force my guests to come up with a movie-themed top 5 list topic, and then we reveal our picks on air. There are plenty of examples of actors known for comedy shifting into dramatic roles. It could be that they want to challenge themselves or start a different career trajectory. It could be to challenge the audience and their assumptions. Maybe they're chasing awards, or maybe they just found a script that spoke to them. Whatever the reasons, comedians have been crushing dramatic roles for decades. Charlie Chaplin wowed audiences in 1947 as Henri Verdoux, a serial killer of spouses. In 1957's Beau James, Bob Hope played New York City Mayor Jimmy Walker, just one of two serious roles he'd play in his whole career. And for those who have heard of it, who can forget The Day the Clown Cried, an unfinished and unreleased film in which Jerry Lewis played a clown at a Nazi concentration camp. Director Brandon Tamburi joined me to talk about some of our favorite performances by comedians playing it straight, as well as to talk about his brand new film, Plan B. If you're a longtime listener, I'm glad to have you back. If you're a new listener and you like what you hear, consider subscribing and rating the show wherever you're listening because it definitely helps me out a lot. Here's five great movies where comedians played it straight. Welcome back to the Force 5 podcast. Today, my guest is Brandon Tamburi, whose debut feature Plan B was just released on video, on demand, and digital platforms. Brandon, it's nice to meet you. How are you?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you having me on. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a great topic. And I always love having filmmakers on. I'm always secretly jealous. But, you know, even though we just met, I'm so proud because I've not had a script produced. I know enough about the whole process to know that having a movie made is very difficult and what that's like. And so we're going to talk about Plan B here in a second. But first, I want to talk about you. I think that making movies, wanting to make movies, it comes from the movies that we love. Seeing something on screen and having some type of voice inside of you say, I want to do that. So, Brandon, before we get started here, what are some of your favorite films of all time?
So I'm a huge comedy person. Plan B is a comedy movie, and a lot of comedies really are just what I grew up watching and what I watch still now. So I'd say some of my favorite movies, I love Superbad. That's a comedy movie that never gets old for me. Just so quotable, so funny. I'm a big Judd Apatow fan who produced that movie. I'm a big fan of Wedding Crashers. That's another one that just gets me every time. It's so funny. Another one that I think is pretty underrated is Ted, which had a little bit of a resurgence with the new show on Peacock. But that movie to me is just absolutely hilarious, laugh out loud funny. And the show is really funny as well. It kind of lived up to the hype.
I heard good things about the show. I haven't seen it yet myself, but I heard good things. I have only seen that movie once and I thought it was really funny, but yeah, maybe I should go back and revisit that. It's been a long time.
I would totally recommend rewatching it and the show as well. I had a few months ago, I was homesick for like 3 or 4 days and I binged the entire show and it was so funny.
Well, they say laughter is the best medicine, so hopefully that made you feel better.
It definitely did. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to get into comedy, just to make people feel better when they're not feeling too good.
Nice. Well, let's talk about how you got into comedy and that stuff, because like I said, making a movie sometimes feels damn near impossible. You've obviously got one made, so what is your origin story in the business? I know that you did some work for National Lampoon in the past.
I did. So my origin story, I'll call it, I got a job working for a production company pretty much right out of college, and I was working as an assistant there and eventually worked my way up. And I was pretty much involved with any movie that the production company was producing. Eventually, again, I worked my way up there. I was an associate producer on the horror movie Hereditary that they produced with A24. So working on that was a really great experience. Even though I'm a comedy person, it was just great to be involved with a movie that got into Sundance and had a worldwide, wide release theatrically. And around that same time, the production company I was at acquired National Lampoon. So that's where National Lampoon ties in. And they were planning to relaunch it as essentially a new age comedy studio, which was super exciting to me. Then, unfortunately, not that long after COVID happened, really before National Lampoon really got back up on its feet and a lot of those plans got delayed and some of the cool feature films that we had planned got pushed and we ended up producing podcasts and digital content and things like that. And I wasn't super interested in that, so I decided to leave and start my own production company where I could focus on Plan B, which at the time was a script.
That's awesome. And your production company is called Joke Zero?
Yes. So Joke Zero is the company I started. Plan B was the first feature film out of the gate, and hopefully we'll be doing some more.
Well, let's talk Plan B, my friend. It has an incredible cast. Jamie Lee, John Heder, Shannon Elizabeth. You mentioned Superbad as like one of your favorite kind of high school comedies. American Pie is one of mine. That's the one that I grew up with. Tom Berenger, Kate Flannery, Vernon Davis, freaking Niners ex-tight end. That's amazing. With all this talent involved, what is Plan B about?
Quick summary of Plan B is that it's this girl played by Jamie Lee. Her name is Piper in the movie. Early 30s, doesn't really have her life together. She goes out one night, has a little bit too much to drink, and she drunkenly sleeps with this awkward guy who lives in her apartment building. And that awkward guy is played by John Heder. And unfortunately for Piper, she winds up pregnant from this one night stand. And when she goes to tell Evan, John Heder's character, about the pregnancy, she just realizes how unfit this guy is to be a father. And she decides she's not only going to keep the pregnancy a secret from him, but she's going to try to then quickly sleep with another guy and tell him he's the father. And this new guy, she's going to try to find the most successful guy that she can. And then that really sets up the premise of her trying to find a new guy and really find a new guy to start a family with.
So definitely a double entendre title, which is fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
How long did you have that script in the can?
So it's funny. I was just going through the movie just released on Friday the 27th. And as that happened, I went back and looked. And the first draft of the script that was a fully finished first draft was from August 15th, 2018. So it's been over 6 years since the script was actually written. I would say that first draft was at least in some form of development for several months before that, probably the beginning of 2018. But at that time, I was still working at that other production company and involved with other projects. So I had the Plan B script, and it pretty much was just something I would occasionally make tweaks to on the weekends and at nights and things like that. But then really after 2020, that's when I decided, like, you know what? I'm going to actually try to make this movie.
That's awesome. You never like slipped a copy into Ari Aster's trailer? Just like, hey, check this out.
I actually did not, unfortunately. The Ari Aster version of Plan B would be pretty interesting.
Yeah, it would be. Heads on the ground. Oh boy, covered
in
ants.
I don't think it would be as fun. Ari is actually pretty funny, just conversationally. I honestly haven't spoken to him for a bit, but I remember making Hereditary, and he definitely has some witty one-liners.
I heard somewhere that he wanted to make a comedy at some point, which doesn't surprise me. Horror and comedy, they say they're the flip side of one another. So
yeah, I think they say that his film Beau Is Afraid is kind of a comedy in a way. So that's probably more of what the Ari Aster version of Plan B would look like.
Listeners, if you want to know more about Plan B, all the nuts and bolts of making a movie and really wearing every single hat in the production, I'd urge you to check out Brandon's interview with my friend and fellow cinematic Eric Holmes. You can find that on their podcast and YouTube feeds. I think it's really worth checking out. Brandon, I know you've probably answered the same questions a million times over during your press tour for Plan B. I'll ask you one more question about the movie. Do you have any words of wisdom for people trying to make a movie?
So I'll give two different words of wisdom. The first is creatively just continue to make content, whether it be even just a TikTok video or an Instagram video or a short film or a web series. Just continue to make projects and they're going to keep getting better and better. I've been making short films and sketches and things like that since I was a kid. And by the time I was in high school, they actually got significantly better. Then in college, I had a few projects that were at least somewhat watchable. Then when I first graduated, I made a short film that actually got into some decent festivals that I wrote and directed. That is something that was really the first thing I would say I was proud of. That was like you could show someone and it at least looks like a real movie. And then that eventually, I don't want to say it turned into Plan B because it's totally different project and different plot and everything. But my next project after that was Plan B. So continue to make projects and they're going to get better. And maybe one of your projects will pick up an audience. The other piece of advice I would say is to really just look at the film industry and the entertainment industry as a business. So many people, and really college kids in particular, want to just go to school and say they're a writer or a director, and they don't really understand how the business works. And it's a business, like I just called it. So you really just need to go into it with a business mindset, try to learn as much as you can about business, and apply those business skills to the business of film and entertainment. And I think you'll have a much better shot at breaking in.
Great advice. Last question before we get into today's topic. I ask this of all filmmakers, screenwriters, whatever. I'm always interested. If you could make a film based on any property, money be damned, rights completely open, any property is open for you to make a movie about, what would you choose?
So one thing that I'll say that I think is interesting, especially from a comedy perspective, is the book Confederacy of Dunces, which had been tried. People had been trying to adapt that movie for many, many years, even before I was born. I think there was a version with John Candy. There might have been a version with John Belushi. There might have been a version with Chris Farley. And things just always go wrong with this project for whatever reason. And I always thought it was super intriguing. And there are always these big filmmakers circling the project. So I don't think I have a realistic shot at that anytime recently. But if anyone who was involved with that project is listening, I would like to throw my name in the hat.
There you go. Confederacy of Dunces. That's a great answer. Nobody's ever chosen that one before. That's cool.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm glad that it's a new answer for the listeners. Maybe some listeners haven't heard of it and they can do some research on the book or maybe even read the book.
I always get really interesting answers to that question that just you never know what people would love to adapt. And there's so many creative people out there that could adapt some really cool stuff. But today we're talking five great movies where comedians played it straight. Brandon, what was your inspiration for this topic? Because it was the first one that you sent to me. Nobody had chosen it before.
So I don't know if I necessarily had an inspiration, but when anything really pops into my head, the first thing I try to do is tie comedy into it somehow. Just from listening to a couple episodes of your podcast, and then also you just saying, what topic do you want to be? I was like, all right, what is an interesting topic that has to do with comedy? And this is something that I've at least thought of in my head before, where it is like, wow, that's a really great comedic actor. Or there's so many comedic actors out there that I would love to see try a serious role and they haven't necessarily done it yet.
Yeah.
But also with Plan B and all of my projects, I try to put in a lot of emotion and heart and some serious elements to it as well. So I think some of the Plan B actors really showed off a serious side as well. So that's probably a little bit of the inspiration too.
That's a great tie-in. Did you narrow your list down in any way? Because there are a lot of great performances by people who are considered comedians.
So there's so many. I did narrow the list down in that I tried to only include each actor one time. Like there's a few actors that really have a handful, maybe like three or four really good serious roles. So I tried to do maybe either the first one they did or one that is just so good that I couldn't not put it on the list.
I did something similar in terms of narrowing it down. So I definitely have just one for each of these folks. And then I wanted to do, I don't know if I completely succeeded, but I wanted to do five people who were known for stand-up comedy before getting into acting. One on my list was part of the Second City comedy troupe. So I don't know that that's necessarily considered stand-up, but every other one on my list is somebody who started out as a stand-up comedian. So that's kind of how I narrowed it down on my list.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to look at it. I don't think all of mine are, but there's definitely some that have done stand-up on my list.
All right, well, we'll see if we have any crossover. Brandon Tambury, are you ready to get into our list?
Yeah, let's do it.
You know what's going to happen? You know what's happening right now? You know what's going to happen?
No.
Words? You just made the list!
Top five
great movies where comedians played it straight. I'm going to go ahead and kick us off here with my number five. I have a performance by Kevin James in the movie Becky from 2020.
Come on, boy, let's go swimming. Let's...
Oh, can you wait a sec?
What is she doing here?
You let her walk all over you.
She's 13.
Jeff, this gentleman lost his dog.
Okay, well, why don't you give us your number?
My dog is a Rottweiler. Purebred, or as the Germans call them, Rottweiler Metzgerhund. That's why you never let them mate with other breeds. You get the worst of both.
Okay, I think it's time for you to go.
Stay calm. I'm looking for a key.
It has this symbol engraved on it. You seen it?
No. Well, that leaves little Becky. Where's Becky?
Wait, wait!
So this is a movie that stars Lulu Wilson, Amanda Brugel, Joel McHale, and Kevin James as a neo-Nazi. And man, Kevin James is one of those actors who, so he started out in stand-up. He gained prominence really because of his lead role on the sitcom King of Queens. And then he started getting some leading roles in stuff like Hitch, Paul Blart, Grown Ups. And I've never found his comedy very funny. He's always been an actor who is very risk averse, it seems. Like, he just takes very safe roles. All the projects he chooses, he seems to play a very similar character, even with sitcoms. You know, if you put King of Queens next to Kevin Can Wait, they seem like the same type of thing. And then in 2020, all of a sudden, he stars in this film called Becky, and it is completely against type for Kevin James.
Yeah, I think that's a great choice. Not one that popped into my head at all, but I have seen Becky. I'm a fan of the movie. I think Kevin James is great in it, and it's definitely a very outside-the-box role, like you mentioned. And a fun fact about Becky. So once I was working on Hereditary, after that happened, the company I was at was getting so many pitches for horror projects, and Becky actually came in as a submission.
Oh, wow.
And I had read the script and remembered thinking it was pretty good, and I definitely passed it up the ladder a little bit. Kevin James was not involved at that point, though, I will say, because if he was involved, definitely would have gotten me a little bit more interested. Yeah. But the script was very good. The movie turned out great. And the distributor of that movie, Quiver, also distributed Plan B.
Oh, all right, cool. Well, we got a connection here. Real quick, I'll give a synopsis for those who haven't seen Becky. Becky is a 13-year-old. She's having trouble adjusting to her dad's new relationship with a new woman because Becky's mom died a year previous. And now her dad's getting engaged. And it's just a lot for Becky. And so in an attempt to connect everybody, they're going to spend some time at their lakefront home. And, you know, there's like typical family drama. Becky storms off, and it seems that she did that at the right time because four convicts who just escaped prison show up and they take everybody in the house hostage. And they're led by this guy, Dominic Lewis, this Nazi played by Kevin James. He has no problem killing anybody in his way, and he's after a mysterious key. But Becky has that key, and she's not going to make it easy for them to get it. I'm sure that even if you have not seen Becky, you've probably seen stills or you've seen the trailer. Kevin James, man, he goes all in this movie, and there's an eye-stabbing scene where he has to essentially cut his eyeball out of his own head. That is one thing from Becky that I will never forget.
I would describe it as like a very R-rated Home Alone with a lot of gore and a lot of blood.
Yeah, very much so. If you're a genre fan, if you're into the same kind of films I am, like the just crazy off the wall, bonkers, violent stuff, Becky's going to scratch that itch. There is a sequel that came out last year, 2023, but I haven't seen that one. Unfortunately, like the character of Becky was my least favorite part of that movie. So without the draw of a comedian doing something crazy, I didn't have much of a draw to see the sequel. Have you seen the sequel?
I actually have not. I remember seeing the trailer. I think Sean William Scott might be in the sequel.
Yeah, he is.
So, yeah, he's a comedic actor as well. Unfortunately, since we haven't seen that, I don't think he's going to make our list for Becky, too. But yeah, we'll have to check that one out.
Man, Sean William Scott, that's a name that did not cross my mind for this. Would have been a great one. He has some good roles.
Would have been good.
Yeah. All right, Brandon, number five for you.
This one, I feel like a lot of people might not necessarily think of this, but I'm going to go with Jonah Hill in Moneyball.
I need more money.
We're a small market team. Fine players are the money that we do have.
There's a championship team that we could afford because everyone else undervalues them, like an island of misfit toys.
We're gonna shake things up.
You don't put a team together with a computer.
Billy Bean has tried to reinvent a system that's been working for years.
I say it's just getting started.
What is happening in Oakland?
It defies everything we know about baseball.
Just plain crazy.
Moneyball is one of my favorite movies. Jonah Hill now has gone on to do some really great serious roles, but I feel like when he did Moneyball, a lot of people were thinking like, wow, Jonah Hill's doing that. And it was such a good movie. I'm a huge baseball fan, obviously a comedy person, but that's definitely top 10 movie for me. And Jonah Hill just absolutely crushes it, in my opinion.
Yeah, Jonah Hill is one of those actors. I think I had a very similar reaction. You see, who directed that one? Was that Was that Bennett Miller that directed?
Yeah, Bennett Miller directed that. And he was coming off of like a few years later, but Superbad and Accepted and pretty much all comedy stuff. And then he randomly does this.
Yeah. I remember a lot of talk about that because he's great in it. And then he went on to do a lot of other stuff that was more dramatic and showed that he had those chops.
Yeah, Wolf of Wall Street and War Dogs, which is a kind of a comedy, but also has a lot of serious elements too.
Yeah, no, that's a really good one. Good choice. My number four is Big Fan from 2009.
Game day. Game day.
Here we go.
We should get our seats.
Hello?
It's $5.
Yeah, have fun in your box.
I can't tell you how sick I am. I can't tell you how sick I am.
Let's go to my boy Paul in Staten Island. He always brings the leverage.
Hey, sports dog.
I can't tell you how sick I am of all these bozos.
Quantrell Bishop was in your face all day long hitting a receipt. You mind?
Yes, I do.
Go to bed, Mom.
Right there.
What, Ralph Bishop?
God, I wish I brought a Sharpie.
What's he gonna sign?
Who cares?
Let's go.
This is a Patton Oswalt performance that, up to this point, didn't know he had it in him to go real dark, but Patton Oswalt plays a guy named Paul. He's a parking garage attendant in Staten Island. He's absolutely obsessed with the New York Giants football team. He and his best friend attend every single game. Well, they don't actually attend every single game. They go to every single game and then they watch the game from the parking lot in the tailgating area because they can't afford to go to every game. So they just bring a little TV and they have it in their truck outside the stadium. His family thinks he's a complete loser. He doesn't have much motivating him. The only real hobby he has is writing down his rants so he can be prepared to call into Sports Dog Radio because that's his only real hobby. He's known as Paul from Staten Island on there. And one of his favorite things is going back and forth with another caller named Philadelphia Phil. One night, Paul's out. He and his friend, they see the Giants star linebacker Quantrell Bishop, and they follow him until he reaches eventually a strip club. They go inside, and they're having a good time. They introduce themselves, oh, I'm a big fan, all that stuff. And then they let it slip that they've been essentially following him from Staten Island, and Quantrell feels threatened, and they beat the shit out of him. And Paul wakes up a couple days later. He's in a hospital, and he has the opportunity to press charges, but he also knows that it's going to be a huge blow to his favorite football team. And that's where things with his family and friends start to get really tense. And I won't tell you where it goes, but it certainly goes in some unexpected directions. Patton Oswalt, he had been a stand-up comedian. He got his first real big breaks writing for, I think, Mad TV was where he really kind of broke in. And then he was acting. He did an episode of Seinfeld. He was on King of Queens for a bit. But most people then would probably recognize him as the voice of Remy in Ratatouille. And he had done like a ton of small comedic roles, which he's always great in. I love Patton Oswalt, but Big Fan showed that he was a really gifted actor. And I don't know if he's done real dramatic stuff after this, but man, Big Fan, he really knocks it out of the park.
Yeah, I'll totally agree with that. That's a really good choice. I've always been a big Patton Oswalt fan. And that movie in particular I like because I'm a huge Philadelphia Eagles fan. I know that he's obviously a Giants fan, but there is a scene that takes place later on in the movie without giving much spoilers where he goes to an Eagles game. And I remember just seeing that and thinking it was really cool. I think the filmmaker did a great job of capturing that atmosphere of what it's like at an Eagles game. And it's ultimately a really good movie, I think. And when I first watched that, I definitely was going into it thinking it was going to be funny. And I think that probably was because Patton Oswalt was in it. And I watched it like, this is not what I was expecting, but I'm definitely liking what I'm seeing.
Yeah, it's very dark. And Philadelphia Phil, by the way, played by Michael Rapaport, which is also interesting because I'm pretty sure he's a big Giants fan in real life.
And a big sports guy.
True.
So number four for me, and I think some people could even put this higher up on the list, I'm going to go Adam Sandler, Uncut Gems.
Where are you going?
Late night event.
Yeah, okay, sure.
I want to talk to you. Just sit down and we don't have to do it here.
I made a crazy risk, a gamble, and it's about to pay off.
Howard, where's the money right now?
You said I got till Monday. Today is still Monday.
Is it too late?
I'm begging you, just give me another shot.
Are you serious right now?
Who's the girl living in your apartment?
What'd you say?
You're taking my money all over town, placing bets.
Oh.
We take them out and show ourselves.
You like the way things are going now?
Get the kids out of the house.
You like to win, right? This is no different than that.
Black Jewel Power.
Really good movie, in my opinion. I'm a huge Adam Sandler fan, just growing up on his comedies, and he still is doing these comedy movies on Netflix. Happy Gilmore 2 is filming right now, from what I've heard, in New Jersey. And Uncut Gems is just a very good movie. As someone, again, is a big sports fan, both of my last two and your last one, all sports movies in a way. But just sports betting has always been so interesting to me. I love having like Kevin Garnett in that movie play himself. And I remember seeing that in the movie theater and just being like on the edge of my seat the whole time. Like, wow, I can't believe Adam Sandler doing this. And he did have quite a few other, which I won't get into, but other good dramatic roles, probably like two or three good ones before Uncut Gems. So I feel like when this came out, people were expecting like he might have a really good movie in him. But for me, Uncut Gems was just very good. I thought about putting it higher up on the list, but I do like this movie a lot.
For those who haven't seen Uncut Gems, what's like a quick synopsis for those who maybe aren't as familiar?
I would say a quick synopsis is Adam Sandler plays this guy who owns a jewelry store, and he's pretty much like a degenerate gambler, and he just gets in a lot of trouble through making bets and ultimately losing bets and owing money to people. And that's pretty much what I'll leave it at. But if you're into sports, into sports betting, into Adam Sandler, into basketball in particular, I think you probably will enjoy the movie.
All right, I'm glad you brought Adam Sandler into this, because I didn't have him on my list. I have him on my honorable mentions for a couple of different movies. I considered Uncut Gems. I love Uncut Gems. It's one of those movies that makes you feel so uncomfortable watching it that you're almost sweating along with Adam Sandler, because there's a running clock in the movie that everything is ticking down to. Kevin Garnett is great in that movie. And if we ever did top five
athletes in movies.
Athletes. Yeah, top five athletes in movies. That would be one of my choices for sure. Sandler also was great in Punch Drunk Love, which you alluded to, things that came earlier. And then also...
Yeah, I have that one on my honorable mention list, another really good Adam Sandler serious role.
Yeah, so good. And then most recently, I don't know if you've seen his movie Spaceman, which I think came out this year.
I have seen it.
I really actually like that one. I thought he was great in that.
I did as well. It's a weird movie, but I'll watch anything with Adam Sandler in it and just his funny person, even though that's not a comedy movie at all, but just having Adam Sandler, it just gives you a good vibe, good feeling just seeing Adam Sandler. He's very relatable, I feel like, in every role.
Yeah, and he has that gift where he can go and take vacations with his friends and make cool stuff in the Caribbean that's, you know, just light comedy, and then come back and do something like Uncut Gems where he's just a complete scumbag.
Yeah, and another Spanglish as well. That's another good serious role from Adam Sandler.
Yeah, that's true. All right, I'm glad we had him represented. All right, number three for me. This is one that made a list before. It made, I think, top five movies that take place all in one night. This is a movie from 1993 called Judgment Night.
Judgment Night is a hair-raising, heart-stopping, navel-biting film.
Welcome to the neighborhood, boys.
An absolute must-see.
We saw a boy get murdered tonight, and if they catch us, they're gonna kill us too.
A non-stop trip that leaves you breathless.
I got a wife and a little girl, and I will get back to them tonight.
Action-packed, edge of your seat, excitement.
You better believe it.
Judgment Night, rated R, starts Friday at theaters everywhere.
This is about these guys. So Frank, played by Emilio Estevez, he's a new father, and he just needs some time away with the guys. So his friends, Ray and Mike, and then his little brother, they all pile into Ray's brand new fully loaded RV, and they're going to take a night trip to Chicago to see a big boxing match. Another sports reference here, I guess, to go along with our theme.
So many sports.
Yeah, they're all having a good time. They're drinking, they're joking around on the drive, and then they get stuck in traffic. And Ray, played by Jeremy Piven, is just kind of a dick. He's real impatient, and he decides he's going to get off the freeway. He ends up in a real sketchy neighborhood, and then they hit a guy with the RV who runs in front. And so they get out, they check him for injuries, and they're about to leave when they realize that the guy they hit had been shot and has a bag full of money with them. And long story short, they are hunted through the night by this guy named Fallon, the psychotic gang leader played by comedian Dennis Leary. He was a chain-smoking comedian in the 80s and 90s. He had his real first big break coming in the late 80s. He was on an MTV show called Remote Control, where he played a bunch of different characters on that. I think a lot of people were surprised when they saw him in Judgment Night, because he had been in some movies before. 93 was like a really big year for him. He was the stepdad in Sandlot, a pretty small role there. He was the Underground Rebellion guy from Demolition Man, but he was really psychotic in this one. There's some great scenes that showcase his talent here. There's a negotiation scene with Ray that's really intense, where he just kind of goes off the rails, and his whole speech around, you're in my world now. And then you see this really evil confidence later on with another street gang, where he takes the other gang leader aside, and he basically tells him, you can't take my money, but you can take my money if I give it to you. It's a really great scene. I think I mentioned this in my original, when this made my other list. The film is now really known for its soundtrack, which is all rap rock songs that were paired. There was different bands paired together. So Teenage Fan Club and De La Soul was one of them. Slayer and Ice-T was one of them. Sonic Youth and Cypress Hill. Mudhoney and Sir Mix-a-Lot. Pearl Jam and Cypress Hill. There was a song recorded that was Tool and Rage Against the Machine that neither band liked, but you can still find that on YouTube. It's under the name Revolution, and just a really interesting movie with a great cast that, if you're into those One Night Gone Wrong movies where you want to see these guys just getting chased through some really bad neighborhoods by some really bad dudes, check out Judgment Night from 1993. That's my number three.
No, I'm going to be honest. I have not seen that. Totally going to have to watch it. I had heard of it before. I'm a big fan of all of those actors. Emilio Estevez, great. Jeremy Piven, great in serious and comedic roles. So I will definitely be checking that out. I think you did a good job of just selling it to the listeners because you sold it to me.
Hey, listeners, jumping in here to talk about one of today's sponsors, El Brazo Beer. I'm a beer guy. There's nothing quite like the craft IPAs out here in California, but with craft beer comes a bit of a risk, because you might be getting a hazy that tastes like it was brewed by your weird uncle who wears socks with sandals. Tired of the guessing game at your local brewery? Buckle up and raise an El Brazo. El Brazo beer is crafted for the bold, the brave, and those who know how to enjoy a damn good beer without all the snobbery. El Brazo isn't for the faint-hearted or the folks counting calories in the corner. It's for the ones who raise their arms, their voices, and their beers high. No nonsense, no pretense, just ice cold, no BS beer brewed for people who live life with their elbows up and their worries down. You can find El Brazo on tap at the Griffin. Tell Nick Force 5 sent you for an odd stare and a firm yet encouraging slap on the ass. Drink responsibly, or drink irresponsibly and call an Uber.
Are you a film fan who loves the ultimate home video experience? Look no further than The Disconnected. Your host, Ryan Verrill, is your go-to source for the latest and most accurate information on home video releases, exclusive interviews with industry insiders and filmmakers, and has established a thriving community where every film and physical media enthusiast feels welcome. From hidden gems to blockbuster hits, The Disconnected brings you insider knowledge and a welcoming space to share your love of cinema. Watch every Thursday night at 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific for the live announcements show, and follow The Disconnected on social media to stay updated. Subscribe to The Disconnected on YouTube or on the podcast provider of your choice, and dive into a world where every movie night is an adventure.
So I'll go into my number three, which is Will Ferrell in Stranger Than Fiction.
Critics everywhere are writing the truce. about Stranger Than Fiction.
It's a comedy.
Oh, goody.
It's a masterpiece.
Did you hear that?
Genuinely funny.
I can't think while you're talking.
Witty and original. Will Ferrell's best performance.
Thanks.
Two thumbs way up.
I'm sorry, did you hear that?
Will Ferrell, Maggie Gyllenhaal, Dustin Hoffman, Queen Latifah, Emma Thompson. Stranger Than Fiction.
Well, that sounds like a comedy.
Rated PG-13. Opens everywhere Friday.
Which, I'm a huge Will Ferrell fan. Still a huge Will Ferrell fan. He's certainly known for comedy coming up on SNL and then all of the hilarious movies he's done from the last 20 plus years. Stranger Than Fiction, for some people that haven't heard of it, Will Ferrell plays this guy who essentially hears a narrator just narrating his life. And it sounds like it could be a pretty funny concept. That definitely, I think, could work as a comedy. It might have a little bit of comedic elements in it, but it's ultimately a pretty serious movie. And I think Will Ferrell did a really good job with it. And I think when that came out, which I believe is like 2006 probably, that a lot of people were not expecting it from Will Ferrell. And I think some people went into that thinking it was a comedy movie and then were just totally, I don't want to say disappointed, but I think they were pleasantly surprised because Will Ferrell does a good job with that.
Who else is in that one? It's been a very long time since I think that I probably saw that in theaters. And I was probably one of those people that thought, oh, this is a Will Ferrell comedy, because this is around the time of Anchorman, Talladega Nights.
Yeah, it really was like such a like out of left field movie for him. But Emma Thompson is in it. Dustin Hoffman, Queen Latifah is in that too. So overall, just a really good cast. And in my mind, a very solid movie from Will Ferrell.
What else has he done that's been serious? I know he did that movie, Everything Must Go. I don't remember anything about that, but I remember seeing it and I thought it was pretty good. But I know he's done other...
Yeah, I actually have not seen that. I know he did another movie before, and I don't know if we could really call this serious because it was meant to be like a joke, but him and Kristen Wiig did a Lifetime movie one time.
Oh, yeah.
Where they just played it like totally straight, but it's pretty funny because it's Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig starring in a Lifetime movie.
You're right. I remember seeing that. That might have made my list for Kristen Wiig, because yeah, wow, that's a good one. And he just came out with a movie too that's a more serious one as well, like a road trip movie.
Will and Harper, I think it's called. And yeah. I haven't seen that. I'm excited to see it. It is a documentary, but it seems super interesting.
Yeah, I didn't know it was a documentary. I mean, I knew it was about them, but I didn't know it was a documentary. That's cool.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it is a former head writer, I believe, on Saturday Night Live, came out as transgender, and this was Will Ferrell's best friend for many, many years, and Will doesn't really understand how his best friend could become transgender, and they go on a road trip and talk about it. And again, I haven't seen it, but I know it was at Sundance. It just came out a few days ago, I believe, on Netflix, so I'm going to check that one out for sure.
All right, so that's Stranger Than Fiction, Will Ferrell's performance in that. My number two, we got some crossover themes here, again with sports and with Bennett Miller. This is a movie called Foxcatcher from 2014, and the comedian's role in here is Steve Carell.
Hello?
I wanted to speak with you about your future. What do you hope to achieve, Mark?
I want to be the best in the world.
Good.
What'd he get out of all this?
You and me winning. America, winning.
It's your time now, but there are some psychological issues that we need to take care of.
I don't need your help.
Want to tell me what's going on?
Hey, what did I just say?
Foxcatcher, rated R.
Now playing select cities.
This is one of the richest families in the United States, is the DuPont family. They made a fortune initially in gunpowder, but have been investing in things like cars and chemicals forever. And this is the story of John DuPont, who was heir to the fortune, who in 1986 recruited two gold medal winning wrestlers who were also brothers, named Mark and Dave Schultz, to come and live and train at his estate and to join Team Foxcatcher, which was a wrestling team that DuPont was forming. And during the story, Mark Schultz is caught between the two. He's got a friendship forming with this guy, John, who is, he believes in him and he wants to do great, but he's also very abusive towards him and does things that aren't in his best interest. And then on the other side, you have his relationship with his brother, Dave, who sees what Mark is turning into, and he sees what John is doing, and he's trying to get him away from John. At the time when this came out, Steve Carell had done other things before, but he's the one that I mentioned at the top of the list that was part of Second City in Chicago. He was part of the same group with Stephen Colbert. And then he did the Dana Carvey show. He was doing some stuff on SNL with the Ambiguously Gay duo. And then he was part of The Daily Show and kind of took off. And of course, the role that I think everybody knows him for now is as Michael Scott on The Office. And when he made The Office, he was also doing some other comedic things like 40-Year-Old Virgin, Bruce Almighty, Evan Almighty. He did Get Smart. He did Date Night. But he was doing some dramatic roles here and there. He had
Crazy Stupid Love. He really had an amazing stretch. And he's still on a stretch. He's still doing huge movies.
Oh, yeah. He's done the Despicable Me stuff. He's a huge, huge actor.
He just did that movie If that was another kid movie. I'm glad you brought up Steve Carell because he somehow slipped off of my list. And now we're talking about him. He's done some other good dramatic roles as well.
Yeah, I mean, like Little Miss Sunshine crossed my mind. I saw Dan in Real Life. I didn't like that, but I thought he was good in it.
Yeah, he was good. Dan Cook also is pretty serious in that movie and I think does a good job.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, man, he could have made my list for another movie too.
He was actually very close to being on my list, but I don't want to say he fell off because I know he is still doing comedy, but I think he had his shot probably around that time Dan in Real Life came out and he did Employee of the Month and Waiting and some other comedy movies. And then I guess he just wasn't as big of a box office draw.
Yeah, he wasn't. If I would have thought of Dane Cook, I would have either had Mr. Brooks, where he plays like a serial killer in training, or there's a really interesting movie called Detention that he's in that is really fun. I don't know if you've ever heard of that one.
I have not seen it or heard of it, but I do like Dane Cook, so I'm adding that to my list too.
Yeah, check that out. Back to Steve Carell. It was between two movies for me. It was between The Way, Way Back, where he plays a real dick stepfather, and this movie, Foxcatcher. And I went with Foxcatcher because I talked about Way, Way Back not too long ago. I knew that Steve Carell had it in him to do dramatic stuff, but I never pictured him as a murderer. And he is just really, really good in this role. He's wearing a prosthetic nose. He looks kind of more like Gru than Michael Scott in this thing. But he nails it. Like, he just nails this weird billionaire who just wanted greatness to rub off on him from the people around him. And to give you an idea of how good he was nominated for Best Actor at the 2015 Oscars for this. He lost to Eddie Redmayne for, The Theory of Everything, I think he won for. But Steve Carell is great in this. And Channing Tatum is amazing in this. If you didn't know how good Channing Tatum could be dramatically, here you go. Here's a showcase. And Mark Ruffalo's in it. He's always good.
Yeah, definitely a good movie. Another good Steve Carell serious role is Welcome to Marwen. It didn't really do too well. A lot of people didn't like it. I personally enjoyed it when I saw it. I think some of it tied into I went to an early screening of that movie, and Robert Zemeckis and Steve Carell were actually there, and they did a Q&A after, which was very cool. When you get to see anything like that, it definitely makes you like the movie, even if it's not very good. I haven't watched it since that night, but I watched it and enjoyed it. The whole audience enjoyed it. And then it came out for real like a week later. And I think it didn't really do great critically or at the box office.
I haven't seen that one. I honestly just completely forgot it existed. but if you say it's good,
I would check it out. If you're a big Steve Carell fan, it's a true story where he essentially is building these like real life miniatures. And he creates these worlds with them, like with dolls, and the dolls don't actually come to life, like not like a Toy Story kind of thing, but they have it goes into like shots of the dolls, and it has a really great cast as well.
All right, I'll check that out. Number two for you, getting down to it here.
Number two for me is Jim Carrey in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
What if you wanted to forget your ex-mom?
You can't commit to anything.
What if you could erase her from your mind?
Technically, the procedure is brain damage.
Will I vomit?
What if suddenly...
That baby's history.
You had a change of heart.
I want to call it off!
The eraser guys are coming here.
Wake yourself up!
That's working like gangbusters.
Jim Carrey, Kate Winslet, Kirsten Dunst, Elijah Wood, Eternal Sunshine.
I want my mommy.
This is sort of warped.
Rated R. Starts Friday, March 19th at theaters everywhere.
Jim Carrey, one of my all-time favorite comedic actors. I think with this movie, he's done some other good serious roles as well, but this is just a really good movie, and I think it's another one where you hear the concept of being able to erase someone from your memory. Sounds like it could be a really good comedy movie. And I think this has some comedic elements, and it obviously has Jim Carrey in it, but it's certainly a very serious movie. And I just really like it a lot and think Jim Carrey's great in it.
I am glad that you put this on your list. I have Jim Carrey on my honorable mentions for like a bunch of different roles. This is my favorite of his. I think it would have been between this and Truman Show. But Eternal Sunshine, I think, is hands down the best movie that he's ever made. It's probably one of my top 50 movies I've ever seen. I love it. It just gives you the simple concept, like you mentioned. What if you could completely erase one person from your mind? Would you do it? What would you lose? And it's a great concept. It's got a great cast. Who else is in there? Kate Winslet's in there. I'm blanking on his name now. The fucking Lord of the Rings guy.
Yeah, I'm honestly not a huge Elijah Wood.
Elijah Wood, yeah. What the hell?
That's who it was. And another supporting role, but Mark Ruffalo.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot he was in that.
Yeah, and Tom Wilkinson, who recently passed away. Very sad on that one.
If you want a great version of this movie, by the way, Kino Lorber, just put it on 4K. It's never looked better. But Jim Carrey has done some great roles in the past, some great serious roles. The Majestic, I think, is underrated. Man on the Moon is great.
Man on the Moon is one, yeah. I had that on my honorable mentions. For anyone who hasn't seen it, the real life story of Andy Kaufman, who was a great comedic actor, gone way too soon. And Jim Carrey does a really good job of bringing him to life. And they made a really good documentary about the making of this movie called Jim and Andy.
Yeah.
And that was actually how I had heard of Man on the Moon. And I saw the documentary pop up and was like, you know what? This looks really good. I'm going to watch this. And I went back and watched the movie and then watched the documentary after. And I would recommend going in that order because it was a really good like 4 hours for me or whatever it was, just being able to watch both of those back to back.
That's amazing. All right, man, we got one left each. And honestly, if your comedian at number one is who I think it is, we probably won't have crossover. Because I left a really big, one of my favorite comedian turned actors on the list, but I left him off just because, number one, I thought you would put him on yours, and number two, I've talked about a couple of his movies recently, so we'll see. We'll see if we line up here.
Yeah, because I have a couple big ones that I left off as well, just an honorable mention, so we'll see.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll talk about them all. My number one is the movie that I think is the best out of all the movies on my list. It is an amazing, really a rare straight-up performance by a great comedian named Steve Martin in 1997's The Spanish Prisoner, directed by David Mamet.
People aren't that complicated, Joe. Good people, bad people. They generally look like what they are.
Mr. Ross, take a picture, sir.
Joseph Ross is on the brink of something big.
What your problem is, Joe? You're too nice.
What he's invented.
What is it?
Sworn to secrecy.
Could make him a fortune.
The process.
These gentlemen have come down to hear the good news.
The good news is control of the market.
But when everyone wants a piece of the action...
Money impresses everyone. What did it ever do for one?
Trust is the one thing money can't buy.
Who is what they seem? Take that guy who got off the seaplane, all right?
I saw him get off the plane.
Maybe that's just what you think you saw.
You now have a Swiss bank account, anybody asks.
I hope you're not talking about any kind of action that would injure the company.
There's no question of security.
They will give you nothing, and they will begin to act cruelly toward you.
I'm sure you've heard of like the Nigerian prince email scams where, you know, somebody tells you, oh, somebody needs to get out of jail. In its original form, that is called the Spanish Prisoner Scam. And it involves a con man telling his victim that a wealthy person of high estate has been imprisoned in Spain under a false identity, and supposedly they cannot reveal their identity without serious repercussions, and they're relying on you to raise money to secure his release. And of course, they promise that once he's released, because he's a prince, he's going to, or royalty, he's going to give you way more money than you put in. And then, of course, when you give them money, they want more money, and they keep doing that until you either don't give them any more money or you're, you know, cleaned out. So that's what The Spanish Prisoner is. And this film, like I said, written and directed by David Mamet, it's about this brilliant mathematician named Joe Ross, and he's invented this process for something. We don't understand what it is because they never explain it. It's just a process that we know is going to make his company a lot of money. And those people who are going to make a lot of money from this, are being kind of shady about compensation for Joe, the person who made this, because he's a contract worker. And so he's on vacation and he meets this guy named Jimmy Dell, and that's the role that Steve Martin has. And Jimmy convinces him to see if he has a legal right to this process. And then from that point, things get pretty uncomfortable for Joe because it seems like everybody has an agenda and nothing is what it seems. If you've ever seen a David Mamet movie, I would especially recommend Heist. If you've seen Heist, this is like Heist, but it's more of a corporate espionage noir. David Mamet is a really interesting filmmaker in that his things are written in a very rhythmic cadence. If you're not a fan of David Mamet, you're probably not going to like this movie. But if you're a fan of David Mamet, like I am, The Spanish Prisoner is right up there with Spartan and Glengarry Glen Ross as some of my favorite movies of all time. It's really an amazing film. And seeing Steve Martin in this is awesome because he did The Jerk in 1979, and he did a ton of comedic movies after that. Almost all of them comedic in some way. Not all straight-up comedies, like Parenthood's not a straight-up comedy, but it's very comedic. But nothing too serious until he plays this. This is a completely straight movie from Steve Martin. He's really calm. He's really collect as this guy just steering Joe away from his company and that process. Steve Martin, one of the greatest stand-up comedians, I think, ever. He was one of the first people to ever go platinum with his comedy albums. He won 2 Grammys. He won one in 1978 for Let's Get Small and one in 79 for Wild and Crazy Guy. He was one of the most popular comedians in the world in the late 70s. And I think he is fantastic in The Spanish Prisoner. And that's why I have it at number one.
I think that's a very great choice. Steve Martin, like you said, all-time great comedian. And he's still, at however old he is, got to be in his mid to late 70s at this point, still doing really funny stuff with Only Murders in the Building. And then even like as a kid, like the Pink Panther that he did and the Cheaper by the Dozen movies are like family classics. So Steve Martin is one of the best.
Yeah, but rarely did serious roles. All right, grand finale time for you, Brandon. We got one more on the list. Let's see if I was right with which one you're going to choose.
Okay, well, there's a couple of good ones that I could think of not choosing. I'm going to go with Robin Williams' Good Will Hunting.
Nailed it.
Will Hunting has a brilliant mind.
This boy's genius is unparalleled.
And a bad attitude.
When you hit an officer, you go in.
Now,
I need someone who can get through to him.
Like me.
For the first time in his life, he's met his match.
Playtime's over.
You lecturing me on life?
Robin Williams, Matt Damon. In a film by Gus Van Sant. Good Will Hunting, rated R.
So Good Will Hunting it's really just like an all-time great movie. I feel like nobody hates that movie. It's just such a good movie. Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Robin Williams in a really serious role when he's probably one of the most famous and funniest stand-up comedians of all time. Historically had done comedy movies really through the 90s and up until the early 2000s, and maybe when he passed away, I forget when that was. It had to be around like 2010 or somewhere like that. But Good Will Hunting, hopefully everyone listening has seen it. If you haven't seen it, definitely go watch it. But it's about this janitor at a college who is smarter than most of the kids that go there, and he helps solve some equations on the math board. And Robin Williams is really like the guidance counselor / therapist role who really helps this student, Good Will Hunting, reach his potential.
You know, the only reason I did not have Robin Williams on my list, because I considered this, I considered 1 Hour Photo, I considered Insomnia, because he's done some really, really fantastic work. But I just had Good Will Hunting on top 5 films with the character's name in the title. And then I just had Mrs. Doubtfire on top 5 San Francisco films. So I've talked a lot about Robin Williams recently, but Jesus, he is so good in this movie. I rewatched Good Will Hunting for that episode, and the scene where he just pushes Matt Damon up against the wall for talking shit about his wife is one of the most intense moments in film.
Would she leave you? Was she, you know, banging some other guy?
If you ever disrespect my wife again, I will end you. Fucking end you. Got the chief?
the scene where he is sitting on the bench with Matt Damon and he just kind of like gets his truth out. You know, I don't see you as a smart, intelligent person. I see you as a scared, shitless kid or whatever that line is. That is such a great moment and really shows you what Robin Williams was capable of in a dramatic role. Have you seen One Hour Photo where he plays Cy the photo guy?
I have. I'm glad you brought that up because it slipped my mind. I honestly haven't thought of that movie for quite some time, but it's really good. And I randomly stumbled upon that probably when I was in high school or maybe college, just looking for a movie to watch. And for anyone who hasn't seen it, it is about Robin Williams, who works as a one-hour photo person at like a CVS-type drugstore. And there's this woman and her son who go in there every week to get photos developed. And Robin Williams, as the guy who works at the store, develops a very strange and scary obsession with this woman and her son. And it's a little bit out there in terms of just like out of the box for Robin Williams, but it's good. It's, I don't necessarily want to say it's scary, but it's definitely a thriller for sure.
Yeah, Mark Romanek directed and wrote that one. And, you know, for younger listeners, you probably have never, ever developed photos. So this is like a time capsule. I think it came out in like 2002, where you took pictures. You had to go get them developed before you could see them.
Yeah, I remember that. I just turned 30 recently, and I remember being probably up until 10, maybe 03, 04, and you could even buy the disposable cameras where you just bought it and it was one roll of film and you get them developed. But there definitely were some one-hour photo guys out there, and hopefully there were no creeps like Robin Williams' character in that movie.
Yeah. Oh, man. Great choice. Great list. We had 10 films here with amazing performances where comedians played it straight. I know we have some honorable mentions. We'll get to those in a second. But first, let's recap our lists, and I'll go first here. So I had Becky from 2020 at number 5, where Kevin James plays a neo-Nazi. At number 4, I had Big Fan from 2009, Patton Oswalt's performance. At number 3, I had Dennis Leary in Judgment Night in 1993. At number 2, Foxcatcher from 2014, highlighting Steve Carell's performance as John DuPont. And at number 1, I had the dramatic performance from Steve Martin in The Spanish Prisoner from 1997.
And just to recap my list, and on my list, I actually did not write down the year, so I'm going to go based off of my memory and best judgment, but I have Jonah Hill in Moneyball, which I think is 2011, Adam Sandler in Uncut Gems, which I believe is 2019, Will Ferrell in Stranger Than Fiction, which I'm almost certain is 2006, Jim Carrey in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which I believe is 2004, and Robin Williams in Good Will Hunting, which I think is 97.
Obviously, one of the tough things about this show is you got to narrow it down to 5. So what are some of those films that we haven't talked about that narrowly missed your list?
So one that I wanted to mention, I feel like this movie really flew under the radar, and it's from just a couple years ago, was Kevin Hart and the movie Fatherhood, which was a Netflix movie. And it's one that seemed like it had a pretty funny concept. I remember watching it, or at least putting it on, thinking it was like this Kevin Hart broad comedy, and it was not funny. Maybe it was a little funny because it's Kevin Hart, but it was a serious movie. And I might even have been like getting a little teary eyed by the end of that. So Kevin Hart and Fatherhood, definitely one I wanted to bring up.
I've never heard of that movie.
Exactly. I feel like no one knows what it is. It just randomly popped up on Netflix one day. I believe it's 2021. And it's essentially just Kevin Hart as a dad. And he has this little girl and he's just raising her. And there's just so much heart, I'll say, just because it's Kevin Hart. But to me, it was a really good movie. A lot of mine, we already talked about Man on the Moon and Punch Drunk Love. I had them. I will mention Eddie Murphy in Dreamgirls. Eddie Murphy is another one who's one of my all-time favorite comedic actors. Dreamgirls, just about this female, really like a female soul group back in the 60s. And Eddie Murphy plays a really serious role in that. And you don't really see that out of him too much. And it was just a really good movie, and I think a really good performance from Eddie Murphy. I think he's obviously done some great comedies, but I think he's really capable of doing any role he wants at this point.
I will throw out there, Jamie Foxx has done a lot of dramatic roles. A lot of people would probably be surprised that he started out in comedy, but back in the day he was. Marlon Wayans in Requiem for a Dream.
I actually had that on my list as well. I'm a big Marlon Wayans fan, and actually just listened to him do an interview with Shannon Sharpe like a week or two ago that was really entertaining. So if anyone hasn't seen that interview with Shannon Sharpe and Marlon Wayans, it's like 2 hours long, but it's worth the watch because it was really cool stories about Marlon Wayans and his whole family.
All right, I'll check that out. It's weird to think that he would be in Requiem for a Dream and Scary Movie in the course of 1 year.
Absolutely crazy. And he also was just in Air in a serious role, which it was a small supporting role, but I remember seeing that like, wow, Marlon Wayans, I haven't seen him do a serious role in quite some time. And he really does a great job in Air also.
A couple others that I want to mention, Chris Rock in the movie Bad Company. There's Jason Bateman, who has always been kind of a comedic actor, but I loved him in the movie The Gift from 2015. And then Billy Crystal in a movie called Standing Up, Falling Down from a couple of years ago, which is another movie that I don't think a lot of people have seen, but really good.
Those are all good options. I'm going to throw in one more that's a very small role, but I thought it was a memorable role, is Dave Chappelle in A Star Is Born. He randomly pops up in this movie. And I think, at least myself, I'm watching it like, Dave Chappelle, what is he doing in there? But he just really, it's just, again, a very small role. It's almost like a cameo where he's probably in the movie for like 5 or 10 minutes. But it was unexpected, and he really crushes it, I think.
A lot of great comedians doing some dramatic roles. I'd love to see more of that because they, you know, it seems like they knock it out of the park when they get the chance.
They do. I'm excited by this idea of maybe someday if I ever make a movie that's not a comedy, it will definitely have a stand-up comedian in the lead role.
Oh, do it, man. That'd be great. Before we get you out of here, Brandon, let's do some last-minute plugs here. Plan B, people can watch it right now. Where can they find Plan B?
So right now, Plan B is available to rent or buy on Apple TV. It's on Google Play, Microsoft, YouTube Movies, and YouTube TV. And it is also available on Fandango at Home, which is now the same thing as Vudu. So any of those platforms, you can go check out Plan B.
So go check out Plan B. Like I said, an amazing cast. And go see what Brandon's been cooking since 2018. It's amazing. Anything else that you want to plug before we get you out of here? Anything else people should follow you on or go to see your work?
Yeah, I'd say one thing that I can talk about really quick is a podcast that I recently started called the Joke Zero Podcast. So it's a podcast following my company. I think a lot of your listeners would really enjoy it. It's a filmmaking and pretty much specifically an independent filmmaking podcast. So we really just talk about all things independent film. And the first season, which is 20 episodes long, is really focused on Plan B. And there's a lot that goes into it besides Plan B, but each episode has a crew member or a cast member from the movie. And they talk about how they got their start in Hollywood and their upbringing. Then we'll transition and talk about some past projects they've worked on. And then ultimately we get into Plan B. It's hosted by Anna Roisman, who's a really funny comedian. And we have on all of the heavy hitters that you mentioned from the movie, John Heder. And he talks about Napoleon Dynamite and Blades of Glory. We have on Tom Berenger talking about Platoon and Major League. If there was ever a reverse of what we just did, serious actors in funny roles, Tom Berenger, really good option for that, because he's hilarious. We have Vernon Davis on the podcast, Jamie Lee, who's the star of the movie, Kate Flannery from The Office, just some really fun guests and some really cool stories about how all of these talented people got started in Hollywood.
All right, that's the Joke Zero podcast. We're going to put that links to that in the show notes. So everything we talked about, go to the show notes, check it out. Brandon, thanks so much for coming on with me today. This is great.
It was my pleasure. This was a lot of fun. And you mentioned that I was going on a press tour to promote Plan B, and this was a little bit different from everything I did. So it's always fun to do something that isn't just me talking about myself, and I can highlight some other films and some of my favorite movies.
If you enjoyed this episode of Force 5, please let me know. You can do that for free by rating and reviewing the show on whatever app you are listening through. It does a lot for the show, and it lets me know that you like what I'm doing. And while you're at it, tell a friend, tell a family member, bug a coworker, take the show to the cookout. It doesn't matter. Word of mouth is the best way to create new list nerds. To tell me what we missed or to send show feedback, you can email me at force5podcast@gmail.com, or you can find me at Twitter at force5pod. Intro and outro bumpers come courtesy of Nate Spears, and the Top 5 List bumper was produced by me with music from Audio Binger. Until next time, stay safe, stay sane, and go watch some amazing films.
Force 5.
Thank you for listening. To hear more shows from the Someone's Favorite Productions podcast network,
please select the link in the description